on, Bears fans. Another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Courtney Cronin, live at Hallis. Well, I guess not live, but y'all know what I mean. As we got to sit here and get more in depth into what we saw on Sunday leading into this Sunday night's matchup versus the Houston Texans. I mean, we got to hear from Shane Waldron today. I thought he was very honest at the podium today. I thought he was very, you know, I got to be better and
accountable,
a great word for it. So we got to get into that. And, you know, maybe we've seen a little bit of the last of Velus Jones. I think after my rant last night at the
off everybody in Rosemont, everybody probably on this coaching staff. Don't irritate Pat. Don't put Velus Jones back.
I was good until we brought up Velus. But we got to talk about all that more in today's episode of Chicago Bears Podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. What's going on, Courtney? How you feeling today?
I'm good. It's nice to, you know, the first game is always such a, like, obviously there's the unknowns, but now that we're in a full game week where you have 4 days to like digest what happened, including after the game on Sunday, and then like 4 days to parse through everything, becomes, I think there comes a point where you can either like convince yourself that things went one way or another. And, you know, by the time you get to Thursday and you talk to the coordinators, they've already moved on in their minds to like the next game, which is a good scapegoat if they don't want to talk about something. But I say all that to say, I think we did get some self-awareness from Shane Waldron today when talking about the personnel usage, like why your three best receivers were only on the field for 10 snaps, Cole Kmet's usage. And maybe that trend changes. It should if you want to have a more efficient offense, put your best players in position to make plays. But how that changes against the Houston Texans, when this offense finds its identity, to me is like the biggest takeaway that you can now start boiling down and looking at a little bit more. Because I just feel like there was no identity established when you're constantly playing from behind the way that they were, like in down and distances. And we'll see if against a really good defense again this week against Houston, if they're able to scheme Caleb a couple easier throws than maybe he would have had against the Titans, and see how they're able to handle a pass rush that has two really good edge rushers.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting when I got the chance to ask Shane about, you know, did he throw the game plan went, how he tried to get things for Caleb, but you know, the execution's got to be better. I thought it was very interesting his answer to that, because he's like, yeah, I thought we had some open looks, we had some plays we got to complete, we've got some things that we feel good about tightening up heading into this week. Did you see that in the game where there were I think there were plays that they schemed for Caleb that were layups? Of course there were the deep shots down the field. But dare I say, the guys were open. And I know, like, we want to sit here and we're still in, I feel like most of the Bears fan base is still in blame Luke Getsy mode. By the way, Vegas Raiders fans, welcome. Cody White here as well. But, like, now you've almost got, like, when watching the All-22, I see guys running open and it's just Caleb's a little bit off. Ball doesn't get caught. Did you see that in the game? And do you feel like this offense may be closer than people are giving them credit for?
Well, if you just look at the numbers, you start and you see he's off target on 31% of his throws. That feels like a lot, because what was his stat line? Like 19 of 28, something like that, for 93 yards. Like,
I gotta look that up. I don't know if he got 19.
Like, if you,
I think it was nine.
It was 9 of 28. Yeah, but like you hear 31%, and you're like, that's kind of a big number.
Yeah,
but then you look at the film and you look, all right, like, was he just, and I know that coaches are going to say things differently, but, you know, on the choice route that Keenan Allen ran, like, that's a play that they've repped a bunch of times in practice.
14 for 29 for Caleb.
14 for 29. Okay, so 19, so five less passes that he completed. You know, that the choice route that Keenan Allen ran, that like that Caleb was off on, it's like, all right, well, if you've repped that in practice so many times, why in the game did it not click? Why was there still inaccuracy there? And I think you can try to like put like Bears color, you know, orange colored glasses on if you wanted to say, oh, well, you know, it's his timing. It's him feeling rushed and, you know, getting used to his footwork when he's actually facing a defensive end that can hit him, all of those things. You can look at it that way, or you can say, man, it's a sign of a bigger problem. And, you know, his inaccuracy, like he might be trying to like, you know, get the ball in there too, you know, just ball might be too juiced, whatever it is. I don't think, like, cause there's, you know, we don't talk about the inaccuracy of other quarterbacks the way that it seems like we're justifying with Caleb Williams. But there's truth in some of that justification that he might not have been off by a lot, but off by enough where it's like, hey, you fix this one thing. Maybe it's timing up your drop a little bit better with the receiver's route and where he is at the top of his route before you throw that ball. If it's truly a correctable issue, we'll see it in week two. That's like, that's to me is where like the buck stops. Like this is an issue right now, but if they're saying it's not as big of an issue, like, you know, when Caleb says, hey, if we just make six more throws, it's a completely different story. Yeah. If they're justifying it by not necessarily sugarcoating it, but saying we were that close, because that's what all of it boils down to, then you better be that close or like make the, you better like take that margin and close the gap in Houston. So then it's not a sign of a bigger issue. You know what I mean? Because he's 100%. A very accurate quarterback, especially when he gets out on the move. Now, obviously we didn't see that much at all. And you can't set up play
action. And Tennessee did a great job shutting it down. Sure. I think that was that too, right? We were so confident in all the naked bootlegs that we saw in preseason. We're like, oh, we're going to bootleg him to death. And Tennessee was like, you know, we know he's bootlegging, right? Like, we can cover that.
And you need to have a run game. Yes. Like, I know that some people disagree with that. You need the run to set up play action. Because when it's, like, completely non-existent the way that it was for the first two and a half quarters of the game on Sunday, then you can't sell it. Because the
if you think you
linebackers
don't look
are not going to bite on that.
Yeah, if you think you don't look at Houston last week.
Yeah.
30 rushes for Joe Mixon, and somehow you still eked out 30 passes for C.J. Stroud.
Good balance. And that's what the Bears hope to achieve. Yeah. I think a lot of this in the discrepancy that you see between the offensive performance and what the defense did was maybe chalking it up to they needed to get that one out of the way to figure out what is our identity? How quickly can we establish our identity? How does Shane Waldron... how is he going to change like his mindset in deploying different personnel groupings and seeing how Caleb reacts within all of that? I am a firm believer that it will look different because it has to look different this week. That there's no, you can't run like whatever that was on Sunday. You can't run that back.
Yeah, no,
like, you can't,
you will lose.
You'll lose. And not only that, like it's just, it was not effective. You can try to say, oh, well the runs were efficient. No, they weren't schemed correctly. Like they weren't, where's the outside zone? Where's all the, where's the toss plays? Where's the screen game? Where's all the things that we saw them do during training camp, but that wasn't there. And they know that. Like the way that Shane Waldron talked was a very self-aware, I mean, a lot of cliches in there, I think, just of like trying to like,
he's a coach stalked savant.
You know, clean feet, clean eyes. Okay, whatever. But like, and that's true.
Yeah.
But like when you boil it down, like what are the real issues within the passing game? I think some of it is just like the type of throws that like it, you didn't have like a lot of easy completions for Caleb Williams. You got to give him some layups in there. And, you know, within that too, giving him the run support that he didn't have.
But see, that's the one thing. So heading into Houston, I don't know if I want Shane to call it completely different. I think there are certain things, got to get the personnels out there. He talked about that in the press conference as well. You got to get more tight end involvement in anything in the passing game. He talked about that as well, not getting Cole Kmet out there more than 48% of the snaps. But when you watch it back, those six throws that Caleb talks about, I didn't see six. I saw four. I was just talking with Waddle. He saw somewhere in that range as well, 4 to 6, where you know, that there was an easy screen pass to start the third quarter off where DeAndre Swift's right there. Caleb just sails it right over his head. You got to make that play. There is the play where, yeah, he throws it deep to DeAndre Carter, but you got Roma Dunze on the right side, no safety help over the top. He's beating his man down the field if you take that shot. By the way, DeAndre Carter was also open, but if you take that shot and he's accurate, it's there. I think those plays change this game dramatically, change how we look at this game. And this is not, listen, if you've listened to this podcast before today, I'm not Mr. Shane Waldron is a genius. Me and Courtney interviewed one of the beat reporters from Seattle, and I was like, this dude sounds a heck of a lot like Luke Getsy.
Sure.
Like, you're telling me no halftime adjustments, doesn't run the football in good situations. I'm a little bit nervous here. But I don't think that I'm ready to say, and how everybody has come out, Shane Waldron didn't help Caleb Williams on Sunday. I think that it's okay to say Caleb Williams had a bad game.
It's a little bit of both. And that's usually, there's always truth in like the middle, meeting in the middle, that it wasn't all Shane Waldron's fault. It wasn't all Caleb Williams' fault, but they did not feel like they were on the same page. And, you know, this is his first time with a rookie scheming for a rookie quarterback in his first start.
Yeah.
So there's differences in that. Like with Geno Smith, with Drew Locke, with any of the other quarterbacks they had in Seattle when he was the OC,
they were vets.
There are things where you know, those quarterbacks could probably account for, hey, if the, you know, once we go off script after the first 15 plays, if I don't, they have more institutional knowledge of defenses and seeing how to adjust to those things, feeling the cover, you know, feeling what the umbrella of the defense is and the coverage, they can adjust to that better than a rookie quarterback is learning to do this for the first time and having to do some of that stuff on the fly. So I do think it's more of a happy medium where they both were at fault. The entire offense, I mean, starting with the play caller and the quarterback, because everything runs through them, has a lot to work on. And to the credit of everybody here at Hallis Hall, it's not like anybody outside of Matt Eberflus saying that they ran the ball efficiently, or at least he felt they did. Nobody said anything that makes you go, huh, wait, are my eyes matching up with what I saw?
Well, he did say he was proud of Velus Jones. I'm on that. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. Go ahead. No,
I mean, I feel like everybody offensively knows, like, they struggled.
Yes.
No one's trying to say that they didn't.
Caleb came out and put the blame on himself immediately. Yeah,
multiple times. And that's not the performance that he wanted. That's not anywhere that's going to get you close to a win against Houston. But, you know, there are, I do think within what we saw from Caleb, it's more than just, oh, play better. You know what I mean?
Like, no, 100%.
They can help him, starting with just like, you have to be able to run the ball. Like, DeAndre Swift has to have a big game. I'm not saying that's going to end up being like, you know, on the other side of that, what Joe Mixon did to the Colts defense. But you've got to be able to set things up for him, scheme him up some, you know, early runs, get him a lot of carries early on as you're trying to figure out when is the right time to strike with play action. Because if you can set up the run, then you can start to utilize those play action throws to get Caleb on the move and show us, can he do what he did in those couple preseason games that we saw him? Like, when he gets out on the move, on play action, naked bootlegs, whatever it is, that's where he was most successful.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think, you know, like, coming this week, you know what you've got on the edge. It's going to be tough to run the football outside, but you got to do what your guy's bread and butter is. I'm not going to lie. Like, the other thing rewatching this game that was, and watching the All-22 that was annoying, was I was like, why the heck are we running at the giant dude that keeps stuffing the run? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a difference in being honest.
And that's on the offensive
coordinator. 100%. There's a difference in being, keeping a team honest and saying, we know this play isn't going to work, but we've just got to do it no matter what. And I thought we saw too much of that, right? The third and 29, there's no play call for that. But you could have punted on third down if your play was, let's go with a screen pass to Gerald Everett.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that.
It could have also just been, I mean, their way of being like, we know we're probably not converting here. Let's at least, like, help our special teams out by, you know, eating up a little bit of that yardage. But this tight end screen, again, these are things that Luke...
DeAndre Swift right there. Just
these are things that I think Shane Waldron looks at and says, okay, that's on me. I can't have those sorts of play calls again. I have to get my guys in a better rhythm.
Yeah. No, 100%. And I think that's going to be very important coming into today. It was good to hear from Shane Waldron today because I think he's got the most important unit on the field because we feel good about the defense. We got a chance to talk to Eric Washington today as well. And I mean, he seems just as confident as this defense seems. I mean, getting a chance to ask him about, you know, how he gets Jalen Johnson out there and how to keep him involved when they basically don't look to his side of his of the field. I wonder if we'll see that this week with C.J. Stroud as well. C.J., a much more confident passer and is probably much more willing to take a chance throwing to Jalen Johnson's side than Will Levis is, but even with that, right, if you are going to take a chance on one of those guys and you know what Jalen Johnson is out there, why even look his way? Mm-hmm. I'm going to try with Tyrique Stevenson, who did end up allowing a touchdown, but still played really well.
And that's like being the other corner in a defense that has a you know, second team all-pro guy playing opposite you. You have to, like, it's not just like, oh, well, Tyreek's an afterthought. Not by any stretch. I mean, he had 9 targets come, I think it was 3 completions for 42 yards. He was not thrilled about the touchdown, as he should not have been.
Right. That was bad.
He's played that coverage. He's played that exact play multiple times in training camp. It just happened. Like, I remember, like, he looked stunned to me, was like the reaction I saw from him after, like, kind of like, well, what the heck happened here?
He got mossed. Like, as he was coming to the ground, the tight end was like, I'm going to take this football. This is mine now.
It's just, you know, it's like you might see some of those things, though, because you've got 3 really good receivers. Nico Collins led them in receiving last week. I think it was 117 yards against the Colts. Stephon Diggs all six of those targets were on underneath throws. So maybe that's the role that he's going to settle into. I mean, they can line him up wherever, which 100%. Is why it's like, how do you scheme for that? Like knowing, all right, what did the Colts show you? A new receiver and a new offense. What is his role going to be different than Buffalo? Is it going to be different than Minnesota? Like, how are they going to play him? And you do that against the strength of this team, which is a secondary. And watching Jalen Johnson not get a lot of throws go his way. Maybe CJ Stroud is willing to take a little bit more liberty and try to fit in some tight windows, but I don't think that that's a wise thing by any stretch with how good Jalen Johnson's played. But this is, again, a huge test for Tyreek Stevenson because
get Nico Collins or Stephon Diggs. Take your pick.
110 targets last year. I think he allowed just over 60-something completions on those. And he had a rough start to his rookie season, but as you saw him come on, like you can start to see, all right, well, they're in good, why they're in such good hands back on the back end of the defense, because the way that he plays and how much attention comes to him versus Jalen Johnson, like he knows he has to kind of, you know, he can't mess up. Like, you know, the one play that he allowed, every cornerback's going to want that one back. And he was upset about it. How he finished, you know, to have like a moment of disappointment and a moment of elation.
Yeah.
Like that's a pretty good teaching tool for somebody going into a game where he's facing a much better quarterback.
Yeah. And that's why you talk about him as NFC Defensive Player of the Week. And I think that this is one, you know, sometimes you get in, it's the big numbers guys. And yes, he did have the pick six. That's the game sealing touchdown. But to me, the story is you got punched in the mouth. Mm-hmm. You didn't give up. You didn't fall back and just say, okay, it's over, right? Mm-hmm. Couple of pass breakups after that, getting that big pick, running it back for a touchdown. Like, I think those are the things about Tyreek Stevenson that are dangerous and why I do feel confident about the Bears. I don't know if I feel confident that they're going to win, mm-hmm. but I feel confident that the Bears should be in this game the entire way if they just get a little bit from the offensive side of the football. And dare I mean, the easiest thing, don't shoot yourself in the foot. I mean, how many times are we starting first and 15?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Pre-snap penalties can't happen.
Yeah.
The false start, the delay of game. And, you know, within this offensive line, like, is it going to look like the same offensive line that we saw last week? Because Ryan Bates wasn't playing. It wasn't practicing yesterday.
Right.
He's limited yesterday.
He was limited yesterday.
Today's on a bike when we were out there during the open portion. So does that mean that he had a setback? Does that mean today's a rest day? Whatever it is, you know, those are the things that have to be eliminated immediately. Like you can't have those again, and you can't turn the ball over. Not that they did, but it's like, continue on that trend. That's why probably Shane Waldron's still feeling pretty decent about, you know, saying some good things about the offense. It wasn't all terrible. They didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And for a quarterback who threw for less than 100 yards, you're probably thinking, oh, wait, if you didn't read the whole stat line, you're probably thinking, wow, something went really wrong.
Yeah.
They at least had ball security top of mind, and that's something that I think they're very pleased with.
Yeah, and if you can keep that up, I mean, that is something where just getting out of there without a turnover, and I do wonder if the play calling changed because of that. That is the one question I have when you see, you know, the second half of that game, because it's like you come out the second half, you're like, okay, big drive to eat up some clock. We're going to come out a little bit on fire. And you see Caleb Williams sail a pass 6 yards over DeAndre Swift's head, and you go, DeAndre Swift's head. You go, oh, well, this is kind of more of what we saw.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to kind of try and protect this guy,
mm-hmm.
get the easy throws, get the easy passes, but we just got to make sure you don't turn the football over, which Caleb's not a big turnover guy anyway. Well, at least he wasn't in college.
No, I mean,
he didn't turn the football over.
Five interceptions today. Each year. The last two seasons.
Yeah.
That's a pretty low number.
No, makes a big difference. We did have one turnover, though. And we got to hear from Richard Hightower, and I'm not going to sit here and do another Velus Jones rant, but it does seem like he's not going to be a part of this kick return team moving forward. When he talked about, you know, how comfortable he is with DeAndre Carter, what did you take away from that?
I took away that's probably the direction they will go at both kick and punt returner. He said he feels comfortable with him handling both. That's the way that last game ended. And it's a job that Carter wants. Carter's gunning for both of those.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. Because
he's really good at it.
Yeah, I mean, he had the 67-yard return, like what he did on punt return too. I think it's probably your best option because you can't afford to have another mistake happen there. And Richard Hightower called it unacceptable.
Yeah.
Like, you just want to be able to hear some accountability. And I think that's what Bears fans should take some solace in when you hear the special teams coordinator not kill the guy in the media, but he speaks it honestly. He said it himself. He's like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. He feels for him like on a human level, but from a football coach perspective, he can't. That's a liability. And at this point, I don't know what he has to do to get his job back. I don't know if he will get his job back. To me, it's a done deal because they were a better return unit when they had DeAndre Carter back there on kickoff.
Absolutely. And I think that's like, that was a weapon for you. Mm-hmm. That puts you in some good position. Now, Caleb Williams wasn't on point enough, but even with a bad day, right? DeAndre Carter's big return puts you in a position where you can say, all right, we only got 20 yards out of this, but we can kick a field goal. We can get some points out of this, right? Like, those are the things that you have to have. And dare I say, he's the best person that we've seen take advantage of the new rule. It looked like on kick return, or at least on kickoff, that he was the guy that had that burst of speed that we talked about maybe Velus Jones being able to have, where if you got one block, he could be gone. And we saw that. We saw him get that block up front. All of a sudden, he sees the hole. That's the other thing, too. It's not just about being fast. It's not just about being big. Mm-hmm. You got to see where the hole is. He saw the holes really well that day.
Yeah, and, you know, if Velus doesn't do that as early in the game as he did, like, would we be saying the same for him, like, about his vision? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has great vision for a kick returner. Because we really haven't had a chance to see him take advantage of the new rules, like no big returns in the preseason. I don't know. I just think the safest bet is not rolling the dice here and trying something again just to say that you like are giving him another chance.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, and this is the one thing that I would love to see the Bears do. When you find something that works, stick with it.
No, it's a good strategy. It's a very simple strategy, but it's a good one.
But we don't do it often, or at least we haven't. We're 1 week into the season. Changes may be happening here. This may be different now. But like last season, it did seem like when we'd find things that work, we would say, wow, that worked really well. Let's not do that at all in the second half, or let's not do that at all in this next game. And I understand every team is different, but when you find a guy that's good at something, keep that guy there. And I think that that's kind of some of the struggles that the Bears have had, not only just in the past, but maybe even right heading into this season. We watched training camp all the way through. Now, injury probably plays more of an issue into the offensive line and stuff like that, but a lot of the questions we had in week one were the same questions me and you were asking in week one of training camp.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what you expect, though, for the early part of the season, because it's never going to look good. Like, weeks, I mean, think about like the offenses.
We sugarcoat a lot just because football's back. We sit there and go, this is a great week. And really, when you watch, you're like, there's a lot of bad football this
week. But I mean, like, there was two quarterbacks. I think it was Stafford and Tua.
Yeah.
Who threw for over 300 yards. Everybody else, there's 17 quarterbacks who, you know, hit the 200 yard mark. Offenses don't look good in week one. I don't think they've particularly, outside of a couple outlier games, look good the first month of the season. That's the same thing, though. Like, when you talk about the same issues we were talking about in the preseason are the questions that we have right now. I think they have to be, because one question that we've had all, like, you know, kind of switching gears, but like one question we had was about the pass rush.
Yeah.
I don't think it's not a question now because of what we saw off of one performance. You don't want that performance to look like an outlier. But just because Daryl Taylor was part of the rotation and they worked him in really well and they put him in a great situation to wreak havoc, DeMarcus Walker, all those things, like, doesn't mean that it's going to look great week two, week three. Like, you have to like have a good sample size to know, all right, that's not a question anymore.
Yeah.
Like, and that takes time. I think it takes the first quarter of the season to
I mean,
do that.
I agree. I mean, we left week one of, 2 years ago when we played that San Francisco game, and we thought we had a edge rusher, a gem, shall we say, in Dominique Robinson, because he was...
Had a great game that game.
Two sacks against one of the best left tackles in football. You know, oh my God, we got a guy. And we haven't heard from him since. You know what I mean? So that is one of my things, where heading into this week, what are the things that you are sure that we're going to see heading into Houston that we saw in week one that you're sure we're going to see in week two?
I'm sure that we're going to see a better run performance.
Mm.
Like, it can't be any worse than that. And I mean, it's like low-hanging fruit, but I just hearing the way that Shane Waldron talked about that element today, you've got to have run support for your rookie quarterback so he's not in third and long all the time.
Yeah.
So you can eat up 6-7 yards. So you have third and manageable. Like, and that doesn't have to just be with Caleb Williams trying to outgain a team with his arm. Caleb's accuracy, I do think will be better. I think
I
that
agree
when
with
they,
that as well.
Like, and I talked with Kerry Joseph about how, like, can you really fix your footwork like all that quickly in 1 week? And he, you know, not brushed it off, but he's kind of like, yeah, of course you can. I'm like, all right, then let's see that. Because yeah, yeah, yeah. if it's about the speed, now that you had a week to acclimate or a game to acclimate to game speed and knowing that like you might have juiced a ball over the one over Roma Dunze, might just like put too much oomph on it because he was too fast in his drop. All right, well then let's see that change, because I don't think they would be talking about it if they didn't see it as a correctable issue. If it was, oh God, Caleb's really got to work through this, it's going to take some time, then I think they keep that closer to the vest. Like as far as what we saw, like if the margin is not like this on some of those throws and it's closer to this, closing the gap on that, I think you should start to see those six throws or however many Caleb yeah. said that it's in four initially, then it was five, then it was six. Like seeing him hit those throws, I think you will see that in Houston.
And the difference is, right, it you have a team where your margin is better. Now, heading into this week may be tough because that wide receiver, at least the little warm-up line that we saw there for the 3 minutes we're allowed.
Right now.
It's a little thin. We did get to see Colin Johnson out there. I was excited about that. Hope that, you know, maybe we get to see a little bit of him in this game, but didn't see Keenan Allen, didn't see Roma Dunze a part of that.
At this point, it's probably a safe bet that
they're not
neither of them are going to play.
It was so weird because it was yesterday. Flew said that, you know, Keenan was basically getting a rest day.
Mm-hmm. And that it was nothing serious for Rome.
This doesn't seem like a rest day when it's 2 days in a row.
Yeah, and he was on the bike today. It's a heel injury that he had previously.
Yes.
So it's not like he got a new injury that like, you know, would put him out for the, like, I think it's probably a pain tolerance thing in a portion of it. And they don't want to like make it
worse. They don't want to aggravate it.
Because he aggravated it clearly, yeah. like during the game. I think at this point, I know today's Thursday, we'll see what the final injury report is on Friday. They're going to have to go into this game thinking, all right, DJ Moore is going to get he gets a ton of attention anyways, but he's going to be your best receiver out there. How do you get, is it DeAndre Carter next? Is yeah. it Tyler Scott? Like, you're going to end up probably calling up the two guys on the practice squad, so Samori Toure and Colin Johnson.
Yeah.
But this could be your chance, kind of bringing everything full circle. Go get your tight ends more involved. Go get Cole Kmet more involved.
100%.
You need to have, like, this is your chance to utilize those multiple tight end sets that they used at such a high frequency in Seattle. And, you know, give Caleb Williams some easy targets because both of those guys are really good. And Cole Kmet can be, I know you've mentioned it, like the security blanket for him down in the red zone. If they can get in the red zone.
You got to get in the red zone. You know what I mean? Like, it was hilarious. It was like, Cole gets a target. I was like, oh, they're in the red zone. Oh, okay. Well, of course he got a target. He's going to be in this entire part.
Yeah. I mean, there's ways now, even without expected to be without two of your top players. There's still ways to get your other guys involved way more frequently. And if you're asking me like what I expect to change, I expect that part
yeah.
specifically.
And listen, if you're Shane Waldron, and this is one thing that Luke Getsy did that kind of irritated me. Now, again, against Houston, you're facing much better defensive talent over there. But you've got a guy in DJ Moore that for some reason there's this thought process of like, well, we can't just force feed the ball to DJ Moore because they'll shut him down. I haven't seen the DB that shut DJ Moore down yet. I saw a couple people in the comments like, Legarius Sneed shut him down. Not really. He caught, what, 3 of 4 targets that were thrown his way? Like, he didn't really get shut down. He just didn't get the ball thrown his way.
Yeah, and he still didn't have a great game.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, like, it's okay to find ways to get that guy the ball. Nobody ever says, well, they were force-feeding Justin Jefferson. Nobody ever says they were force-feeding Ja'Marr Chase. Oh, they're force-feeding the best wide receiver. Like, DJ Moore is one of those guys. And he said, I believe I'm one of the top 10 guys in the NFL. His numbers would tell you, his catch percentages and things like that would tell you he is in that conversation. At least, like, I don't understand why we see offensive coordinators so often go, well, they're going to take him away so we can't throw the football to him. Like, this Sunday, that's the one thing I need to see. Don't be scared to try and get the ball to DJ.
And I don't think they will be. I do think it was almost like it was like an abundance of a problem for them. Like,
on every play, there was one. Abundance
problem.
Yeah.
Like, where it was like you've got Keenan, you've got Rome, you've got all these personnel groupings you're trying to fit together. Maybe eliminating talent just on like a 1 week basis due to injury yeah. will open up what you can scheme for DJ. Cause I mean, you brought it up. I think when we were in Rosemont, the Washington game, they force fed DJ Moore in that game. And those weren't even hard passes. Yeah. Like, or, you know, like deep passes. Those were quick screens and DJ in the flat and relying on your talent to do the rest of the work.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not, of course, like you don't want to like have to rely on that. Like, and, I mean, I don't think that, I think Caleb would have a much easier time getting him the ball than Justin did throughout right. most of last season. But DJ is, he adjusts so well to any quarterback he's playing yes. with. And we know that like these two have been chomping at the bit to build their chemistry, to show what they've been putting on display for the last 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that even with added attention coming to DJ Moore, there's still going to be a concerted effort to get your best receiver involved. There has to be.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned it earlier, right? That margin for error closing. The thing that closes that gap is how good your wide receivers sure. are, right? Yeah. If Caleb Williams overthrows Keenan Allen by a couple of feet, Keenan Allen's a good enough wide receiver to say, don't worry, I got that couple of feet. I can go get that. Same thing with DJ Moore. We've seen DJ Moore make some catches. We're like, how the heck did you just reach up and grab that? Roma Dunze, I think, could be that kind of player as well. Like, the thing about this Bears offense that's supposed to be a potent offense is what makes it easier for a rookie quarterback is you have the talent to make up where he may be deficient right now. And I don't think Caleb has this long list of deficiencies, but if the footwork's a little off and he throws the football a little bit high, I got guys that can go get it. Now, again, coming into this week may not be the situation because I guess I could see Keenan playing basically going, I know what I'm doing. Like, just put me out there.
But they also don't want to risk.
Like, you don't want to risk worse. A deeper injury.
I don't know. It just feels like him not practicing on a Thursday, even if he's, best case scenario, I think he goes in questionable.
Yes.
But I don't feel like he's
going to
play.
I think that we're going to get the Tyler Scott, DJ Moore game. And I need a lot of targets to Gerald Everett and Cole Kmet in there as well.
I feel like it's a good opportunity for those tight ends.
Yeah.
I really do.
And the other thing is, too, like, it's so crazy. We've listed this list of weapons. Like, DeAndre Swift can catch really well. Like, you can use him,
this
too.
This could be a chance to, you know, utilize the running backs in the passing game.
100%. Let us know you guys' opinions in the comments below. We'll be talking with you guys as well. Courtney, before we get out of here, what is your prediction this Sunday?
I predict that Houston's going to win. I think they're 6.5-point favorites.
Yes, they are. And the Bears are wearing orange jerseys, which may almost make that a lock. There. Like, the orange, our record in the orange is 6-11. I love the jerseys. I hate how we play in them.
I'll say it's 27-21.
It's not a bad game. Texans. That's a fight. I like that. I think I went, I think I said 28-21. 28-21 Texans is my prediction for this game.
But notice how people can rationally pick another team to beat the Bears, whereas in years past, I don't know, it just feels like it's okay to expect that a team that's on a different trajectory trajectory you're hoping to be on, yeah. rather, but like they're more experienced. They have a more experienced quarterback. Yes. Where I get this question a lot, like, what's the pulse like in Chicago? Are people freaking out over Caleb Williams' debut? Rational people aren't, because they understand that, like, the Texans were a playoff team last year.
Yeah.
They had a quarterback with the best rookie season ever. And this is still going to be a work in progress for Caleb Williams early on, to where I don't think anybody's overvaluing what we saw last week. And still understand that this team has probably got some growing to do.
100%. And I'll say this on top of that. That margin for error, if Caleb Williams gets it together this week, with this defense, like, we could be talking about a 21-17 Bears win. Like, yeah. It is that level of, like, if you just give us a little bit here, we can do the rest over here. You can rely on this defense to shut down some of these guys on the other side. So I think it is right, like you said, it's the rationale of, like, they're a better team than us right now, but our defense may have the better day. And if you give us something offensively, we can win that day. So we'll see. I'd love to see a 2-0 start from the Chicago Bears team. Let us know your predictions in the comments below. I'll be down there to talk with you guys as well. As always, man, for Courtney Cronin, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.